Lawrence found that the resentment towards Domain, which had already been pronounced, easily transmuted itself in form. Where the aviators had formerly criticized his daring to preserve a useless beast and thereby slow and threaten the recovery of the final egg, they now, without any difficulty, objected to his possession of that same beast as undeserved and unsuitable. There was a particularly strong understanding amongst aviators which held in contempt any sort of intrusion into the relationship between captain and beast, but as Lawrence himself had known, this understanding might become flexible when the captain was not considered properly an aviator himself. He remembered with distaste the coarse effort which had been made to separate him from Temeraire early in their relationship and prefer a proven lieutenant into his place, wholly disregarding all that the aviators had known of Temeraire's likely feelings on the subject, and even resorting to outright falsehood. Lawrence himself had been too uninformed to object at the time. He was now not so, but had no standing to speak even when he heard men muttering enviously, and, past convincing themselves that it might be permissible to interfere, well on the way to embracing the idea as a duty. Domain's temper was not one which would lightly brook such an insult either, and he had also the means by which to resent it. Though Lawrence thought he was not yet 15, and a little short, perhaps, for the inadequacy of his childhood diet, he was filling out rapidly, and he had taken to sword and pistol and rifle with bloodthirsty appetite.
"I will not tell you to swallow it," Lawrence said, "but I do tell you that any gesture, any act which should demonstrate an uncontrolled temper or a disdain for the rules of the corps can only create a worse prejudice against you, and make all the more unlikely that an official recognition will come. It will not come quickly, that much is certain."
"They none of them wanted him before," Domain said, glittering-eyed and angry. "They would have knocked his brains out, and left him to rot, or taken his food."
"That is quite enough, Domain. They did their duty as they saw it," Lawrence said.
While perfectly accurate, Domain's resentment needed none of the encouragement of approval.
"They misjudged, and you did not. That satisfaction ought to hold you against the natural murmurs of regret which any man might feel on seeing a boy advanced so greatly ahead of his years, and with so few opportunities as remain to them."
"They would not mind so if it were Widener," Domain muttered,
meaning Rankin's hapless young signal ensign, but subsided when Lawrence regarded him sternly.
"Widener is a lump, so of course they would,"
Roland added to Domain scornfully, after he had slumped back sitting next to her in the shade.
"Stop being so ungodly prickly. Of course they're all jealous now. They will get over it when you've been in a proper action."
"It is easy for you to say," he flared. "No one would ever say you are not an aviator and talk of sending you back to Africa."
"And I suppose you have had to knock a lieutenant over for putting his hand in your shirt, then," Roland said,
which brought Lawrence's head up sharply, appalled.
"No, I don't mean to say who,"
she added to Domain's immediate demand, before Lawrence had even made an attempt.
"He was drunk and sorry after. Really sorry, I mean, not just being a weasel. A weasel would have been afraid to try, I expect, now Mother is a Lord Admiral. Anyway," she went on too candidly, "I don't know if I should have minded if he had not been so drunk."
Much to Lawrence's dismay, however, Domain showed as alarming and visible a predisposition to resent this as the other, the whole business of which gave Lawrence fresh cause for concern. He had been neglectful of his duty by Roland. She might not officially be under his command any longer, but certainly she was still his responsibility, and he had left her without sufficient evidence of protection. He had allowed her to run wild with the other ensigns and runners, though they were plainly reaching an age to make that inadvisable. It suggested a lack of care which could only encourage improper advances. As there was not a single other female in their company, however, he would be hard-pressed to manage a chaperone at present, and he rather dismally felt Roland would not take with much kindness to supervision in any case.
"What for?"
Gramber said, with that perfect disregard for reputation which Lawrence could no longer be surprised by, and yet sigh for.
"If she does decide to fancy the man or anyone else, it would be just as well if she got it out of the way early. Lord knows we would like to keep Exidium in harness at least 2 more generations, if he will have it. By now he knows our formations better than any 10 officers put together, and you can see with Harcourt there is no telling what may happen. It might take 6 tries to get a girl." "No, but I will tell you," Granby went on. "I am a little worried about this business with Domain. I'll put a word in where I can when I've got back to England, and I don't expect Admiral Roland will have any truck with his business of saying he isn't in the corps. But that still leaves you with a good 1.5 years to manage. And I think Rankin means to encourage it, the rotter."
"So far as that goes, if need be, we will remove to the valley, or find another," Lawrence said, "and have done."
With Rankin's encouragement or no, Blinken, evidently feeling that, as he had originally been offered the egg, he had some right now to try again, did make an attempt. He was a former rifleman, and while they were encamped took one of the guns and went out, in a surreptitious manner, to return with a fresh killed cassowary, which he brought back and offered to Kulingile, while nearly all the rest of the camp were sleeping. Lawrence roused only in time to see Kulingile fall upon the carcass at once with evident pleasure, while Demain rolled up to his feet, his hands clenched by his sides, rigidly angry. Blinken did not look over, but in a low voice suggested, as he put out a hand to stroke Kulingile's side, that perhaps the dragonet would like another captain, with a proper rank and standing in the corps, which might provide for him not only raw meat, but the chance at real service.
"No," Kulingile said, eating unconcernedly, "I have Demain."
Blinken paused and said,
"Surely this is a very nice cassowary.
I'm glad you're enjoying it,"
beginning on another tack.
But Kulingile said, "Yes, although the one which Temere gave me yesterday was a bit more fat, and the one Lieutenant Drewmore shot the day before had a better flavour."
And indeed he had been used to be fed by so many, lacking the ability to hunt for himself, that it was not surprising he did not attach much significance to the gift. The first attempt having failed, Blinken would have withdrawn, but Demain confronted him. A head shorter than the lieutenant and some 50 pounds at least lighter, a slim, dark figure trembling with rage, and he said,
"You are a coward, and if you try and steal Kulingile again—"
He stumbled to a halt, not so much reluctant to threaten as unsure precisely to what degree, and Blinken said,
"I hope," with an air of stuffy superciliousness, "Mr. Demain, that you have better sense than to indulge in histrionics and unreasonable expectations. No heavyweight can be managed by a young boy. Your passion is understandable, however, and I am sure if you should demonstrate perhaps some more sense, some cooperation, that you will find it a good foundation for future expectations, and a more steady and rational advancement in the corps."
Demain spat comprehensively.
"That for steady advancement, as though I would trust any of you cheats," he said. "And if you think I will ever help you take Kulingile from me, you are a great fool. As if he would have a lying sneak like you anyway after you wanted to let his brains be knocked out with a sledge. As for being a boy, at least I am not a useless old scrub sent away because he did not deserve his old post."
Blinken slapped him across the face, which Lawrence, on the point of intervening, could not call entirely unmerited, even if there were no shortage of blame to be credited to Blinken's account in the situation. But the noise was crisp and loud in the dry air, and Kulingile's head snapped up from his repast to see Demain stumbling back under the blow. Kulingile did not precisely spring. The motion was more peculiar, as he launched himself and landed against Blinken still floating, but then he exhaled in a sharp, hissing way, and the swelled air sacs began to deflate, so his real bodily weight at once began to tell, and Blinken stumbled and went down beneath him.
"You have hurt him,"
Kulingile said, shrill and furious.
"You have hurt him! Demain!"
He opened wide his jaws to push out still more air, and Blinken coughed and struggled to push himself free, gradually being crushed.
"Demain!"
Lawrence said sharply, turning to rouse Temere, who had just cracked open a sleepy eye. But Demain was already there at Kulingile's head, seizing the tethering rope and tugging.
"No, come away! You mustn't kill him!"
Demain said urgently, "or there will be trouble! Look, I am all right. You can't even see a mark."
"That is only because you are dark," Kulingile said, "and not squashy and red like him."
But with some reluctance he allowed the sacks to inflate once more, and himself to be pulled away, leaving Blinken gasping and wretched upon the ground, curling around what proved on inspection to be several broken ribs. Dorset bound these up without great gentleness. There were no further attempts, at least none where Demain might see and object to them, and as he made a determined sentinel, this ruled out nearly any such slinking efforts.